Today on the She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 183, we are sitting down with Nagina Abdullah, and she is sharing with us why you should keep your job while you're building your business.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hello, lovely friends. Before we dive into today's episode, I just want to remind you and share with you because I am so excited about how things are just lining up for the She Did It Her Way Summit in October, October 21st. Tickets go on sale tomorrow and the space is limited. I'm purposely keeping it to a smaller size group just so that we can make sure that those who are attending are getting hands-on white glove treatment and getting all the questions answered that they want to be answered and that you're looking for. And so if you're looking for more information, definitely head on over to shedidithowaypodcast.com/summit and you'll be able to purchase ticket sales tomorrow. And in addition, in a few weeks, I actually have a solo cast coming up that I am taking you in depth about what is the summit, who is it for, and why am I doing it, and then also sharing with you all the topics that we're going to cover, which it's going to be a crazy intense day and it's going to be back to back, but it's going to be chock full of value for you, for those who want to start their business or who are within the first 6 to 12 months of launching their business. In today's podcast episode, we sit down with Nagina Abdullah, who is the founder of Masala Body. And her journey is about a weight loss journey and how she was able to lose weight through using certain spices, changing out her daily habit, workout routine. She shares with us the grueling lifestyle of the consultant and how she actually made a change to stay still within the same company, but change roles so she could find more time to continue working on her business. And another thing that I really value about this interview is she actually still works in her corporate job full time and she runs her business and entrepreneurship side hustle, but she also runs that full time. And I think it's important for us to take a step back and realize that not everyone has this clean break between corporate America, I'm going to quit, I'm going to take the leap, to launching their business and running it 100% full time, as is that being the only thing. And I love that Nagina shares her perspective about how she has certain goals in her business that she is building that she wants to reach before she fully takes the leap to leave corporate America. And I think that is so smart. It is such a calculated risk that she is taking. And I'm so excited that she is sharing that with us today in the podcast episode. Also, a few other things is you'll learn, we'll talk about getting comfortable with investing a large amount of money into expanding your business and becoming a CEO and founder. So again, it's always nice, like when you have that full-time job, you're bringing in cash that you can take and then reinvest in your business to build up, to invest in mentorship and what have you for whatever your business is calling you for. We talk about finding the health benefits of adding certain spices into your diet and also learn to obtain profitability in your business so you have the confidence to take that leap from a stable job to become a full-time entrepreneur as well. All right, we've got Nagina Abdullah on the She Did It Her Way podcast, and I'm so excited to talk to her because what she has going on and her website and everything that she is putting out there, I'm like finding myself, Nagina, when I'm on your website, I'm like, yes, tell me the secret. What's going on? I want to know more. So, and like even your story is incredible too with like the accomplishments. So I'm just going to turn it over to you and have you introduce yourself. Tell us what it is that you're doing. And then let's talk about, let's unpack that journey that you've had thus far.
Oh, definitely. Well, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And so I'm the founder of MasalaBody.com, and I help busy women lose weight using the power of spices. And I started this journey really as a personal transformation of mine, where I had struggled with my weight and with my body just for my entire life. And I always just tried, I wanted to have a body that I was really confident about. And I was very athletic when I was younger, but for some reason, I just couldn't fit into the clothes that I wanted to fit into. If I went to the beach or the pool, I was always self-conscious, and I just tried every single thing to help me lose the weight that I wanted to and still be healthy and be strong. I tried paleo, I tried South Beach, I tried Weight Watchers, I did everything, and no matter what, the weight would kind of come off, but then it would come right back on, and it would never come off to the place where I was like ecstatic when I looked at myself in the mirror. And as a high performing woman, I mean, I have done so, like I have worked really hard to be top in my school when I was in school, to get a really high performing job, a very demanding competitive job that I got. And now since starting my entrepreneurial adventure, like I just am always trying to be the best. And do the best that I can. And so there was that one thing that I just couldn't get right, and that was my body and my weight and my health. And I just wanted that well-rounded image of myself. And so just to make a long story short, after I moved to New York City from California, I started working in my dream job, which was a management consultant. I started traveling everywhere, and it was easy to put on weight. I also then had two kids shortly after, and after that, that's when I really started my journey, when I realized I need to do something about this. I need to lose this weight. I need to get it off. And by trying a couple techniques that were actually ended up being really easy and pleasurable, I started just eating unprocessed healthy foods, and I started adding spices to my diet, which made eating healthy foods so much easier. Like that's sort of just made it so much nicer. And I also found out later that there's multiple health benefits of adding spices to your diet, like anti-inflammation, like less water retention, like increased fat burning and decreased appetite. And what ended up happening is I lost 10 pounds in my first month without any exercise by changing what I was eating and adding these fat burning spices. And I kept eating these foods that were so delicious. And over the course of 9 months, I lost 40 pounds. And
that's insane.
Yeah, it was insane. And I mean, to put it in perspective, I got to 20 pounds lower than before I had kids. And I was in my mid 30s when this happened. So it was really after a lifetime of struggle, like to have my dream body after two kids was like, I couldn't believe it. I would look at myself in the mirror every day and say, how could this have happened so easily when I struggled for the last 35 years? Like, what is going on? And that's when I started my business, which started as a blog. And I started just sharing my recipes, sharing my fat burning, like things that I was making. And I started a coaching program, and now it's evolved into a business where I've helped over 500 women lose up to 40 pounds using the power spices and healthy foods. And it's exciting. So
yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
That's super exciting. I'm like, where do I even begin? Do we talk about like the early stages of the business? Do we go straight into like, what are the spices and what are you doing? And why don't we start? So then are you still working in management consultant, or did that fade after you realized like, whoa, I can help other people? And if so, what did that transition look like for you?
Yes, I think that's such a great place to start, because like as a new entrepreneur, or for anyone that's listening, that's starting their business or that's growing their business. And it's like, for me, what I need, I think it's very applicable, because when I started my blog, of course, it wasn't making any money in the beginning. And I didn't even know how I was going to make money from my blog. That wasn't even necessarily like what I was aiming for immediately. So I had to have my full-time job, because it was my side hustle. You know, it was like definitely something that I did on the side. And over time I was working, well, in the beginning I was working in a very demanding job where I was actually traveling 3 days every single week. And I would just fit in my work on my blog because it was fun. It was like a break for me from work. It was a break for, any free time I had, instead of watching TV, I would work on my blog. Or instead of like doing something that, you know, sleeping extra long or something like that, I would always want to work on my blog. And so I really built my audience first. And after I had an audience of 500 people, that's when I got my first client, my first one-on-one client. And after I got my first three clients, that's when I realized that I really had a business that was going to grow. And that's because like I'd proven it. I had gained a lot of subscribers, and I had also gotten 3 clients that were paying me money for my services. And so at that moment, I decided I wasn't ready to actually quit my job because I still needed the income and I still wanted the stability of my full-time job until I grew my business to a place where it was no question that I didn't need my job. And so what I did is that I transitioned my job from this very demanding traveling type of lifestyle to a much kind of like lower expectations job where I didn't have to travel anymore. It wasn't as demanding. And on the downside, there wasn't as much upward potential in my role anymore. And I took that sacrifice. I took kind of like, I needed the stability of my job today, but I was okay with sacrificing the fact that I wasn't going to move up in my job because I knew that I had faith in my business. And I'd proven it by getting the 3 clients and getting over 500 subscribers that my future was really in my blog and my business. And so I'm actually still doing that today where I still have my full-time job. I've been able to manage it so that it's reasonable. It's something that I'm able to do both with, and I've continued to grow my business. And once I hit certain numbers, that's when I will be able to completely leave my job.
Yeah. So, and I love that. I mean, I think that's a great thing to share and bring to the table because a lot of the episodes or people that I bring on, most of them have taken the leap, but it's a really great opportunity to see and talk to someone who is in that stage and is in the planning stages and in the position to say, like, these are the things that I'm doing and I'm being smart about it and I'm taking risk, but it's calculated risk. So now within this stage and you're waiting or not waiting, but allowing, like, you have a plan, you have certain metrics that you want to hit. What are some other things that you've done to, like, how did you know what metric you wanted to hit? How do you goal set and plan and decide, like, what are the benchmarks that you use every, like, I don't know if it's week or month, that maybe our listeners can implement if they're also in the same position or soon will be in the same position?
Okay. Yes. Oh my gosh. That's a great question. And I wish someone had told me this before because I wasn't really sure what to hit. It was like, okay, the main thing I thought that I needed to hit was revenue. I thought once I reach a certain number in revenue that's like equivalent to my full-time job, then I can probably quit. But what you don't know until you actually start doing everything is that, of course, it costs quite a bit of money to make revenue. Like, you don't just make it for free. You know, there's mm-hmm. things that you have to actually invest in. And now the metric that I look at is profitability. And so my profitability needs to be more than my full-time salary for me to be very confident that I can continue to grow my business. I mean, that I'm in a place where I feel that I'm safe enough to leave without having anxiety about, you know, where my bills will be paid or things like that. So, like profitability is something I focused on for the last year where in the beginning, it was really, I was just thinking about revenue and that was fine for the beginning. It's like, I was actually just amazed and thoroughly thrilled that people were paying me to help them for something that I did. I just couldn't believe that because I had always had a full-time salary and that's just how I thought you made money. And so for me to actually pitch my services and coach women to lose weight, something that was so kind of personal to me and help other women do the same thing and see them go through that. I mean, it was completely fulfilling. And so I was really just thrilled to be able to help other women and to see that I could actually, that women would actually like value what I was teaching them enough to pay me for it. And so, so after that, I started realizing, okay, I am like making a decent amount of revenue, but what am I bringing home? Like, what's going in my bank account? What is helping me and my family? And in the first 2 years, I reinvested a lot. Like, and I think it's actually, that's the reason that I'm so happy I started as a side hustle, because I didn't have to worry about what I was using my money for. I was really just using it to grow my business. So some of the things I invested in were like just learning the skills of having a business. So I, I bought courses in how to have an online business and how to be an excellent copywriter. I hired a business coach that was pretty expensive, but also really helped me a lot in taking me to the next level. And then I also I invested in publicity courses. I invested, of course, in my software and some pictures and things like that. All those things add up. And so now what I'm doing is I'm really focusing on my profitability, where I'm very much very close to what I'm spending and I am close to what I'm making. And so profitability is one thing. The other key thing I look at is my growth in email subscribers. And that is because email subscribers are they have proven to be, and I've tested this multiple ways, the way that I make the most revenue and the most profitability is literally by growing my email list. So I actually have on my browser, when I click on it, I have this little plugin where it shows me exactly how many subscribers I have every day. So I'm always focused on it. And that's one of my major goals. I actually have signs up around my house, and my kids and my husband are like, why does it say all these thousands of numbers everywhere in our house? I'm like, that's my goal. That's my goal. And so
I have to ask, is it video fruit?
Yes, it's video fruit.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I have the same one. And I'm always if I'm around someone and they see the number pop up, I'm I can only imagine what is going through their head and being why is there this number that's on your computer screen every time you open a tab? But that is hilarious. Yes. That is, yes, it's
that's
a really
so cool.
Yeah.
It's exciting too. And to open it. Sometimes it's exciting and sometimes it's depressing. It depends if it's going up or down that day.
Yes, that is so true. And then it's oh, someone doesn't like me. And you're no, it's just business.
Yes. And then I'm I have to do something. I usually try to have all these strategies to keep increasing my list. But there's if there's even a week that goes by and I don't see my list growing, then I just think, oh my gosh, I'm not, I haven't done what I needed to do. And I need to get going again, or something needs to be refreshed or something like that. So I think for me, profitability, because that's really what we're talking about. Revenue, if someone made $100,000 and they spent $90,000, I mean, it depends what year. If it's the first year or second year, sometimes you are investing a lot, and that's okay. But if you're really trying to make this a living, you really have to look at what you're taking home. And email subscribers are literally the lifeline for an online business. And
Yeah. So
that's why those are the two key metrics I focus on.
Yeah, and that's so smart too, because especially now when you look at, there's the big talk of different social media platforms, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they all own their own algorithms. So it's never when you put content out on those platforms, you don't actually own it. Where with email list subscribers, or even podcasting in this case, there's no one that is interfering with your ability to communicate with your audience and your people. So yeah, I love that you said profitability too, because even I studied finance, but it still took me a handful of years to really look at and be okay, yeah, to your point, great. You bring in $100,000, but if you're spending $90,000, then it's really, what's the profit and how do you handle that? So
yes. Oh my God, that's so true. Yeah. And a lot of that is it plays into everyday strategies, because there's a lot of ways you can go really fast. You can buy a lot of subscribers, and it's just thinking about, is that actually going to make me money at the end of the day? Or is that going to really grow my business? Or are there other strategies that might be more, that are longer term strategies that I might want to also focus on? So it's also how do I get more email subscribers that will help me be profitable? So that's really the conversation I continue to have, is how can I continue to get a lot of growth, but continue to be profitable. And that means that I have to be creative with my ways to get email subscribers that will also eventually become buyers. And that's key.
Yeah. So talk to us then too. I mean, so you're in this beautiful transition, hustle, doing the smart thing, building as you're still in this, not safety, but just the predictability of what you have with your full-time job and things like that. How do you, manage all of them? And what's your strategy to stay focused and to stay sane? And do you block it up? And what do you outsource? What do you keep? And what do you do? Like, what is that? I'm so curious.
Yes. Okay. So what I do is, first of all, like so I had to actually like take a look at my life and look at what were my goals and what do I need to do to reach my goals. And so I used to like do a lot of things with my time that I don't do anymore. And it was over the course of several years that I've changed this, but like I used to watch like 1 or 2 hours of TV at least a day. And I don't do that anymore. Like I watch it. I realize like that actually is not relaxing me. Like it's just actually draining me and making me more tired when I watch TV for longer periods of time. So now I'll catch a show that I like, I'll watch that show, and then I'll turn off the TV. And I'll just do it for like the break. Like, I mean, there are shows that I have to watch and that I love to watch, but
okay,
I just
what's
know-
your favorite show?
Oh, my favorite show is Master of None. It's on, it's with Aziz Ansari and it's on Netflix. And it's a comedy show. It's about like Aziz Ansari, the comedian, who's like he lives in New York and he goes through all these experiences about being a single man, and he's just a comedian. So it's just a very funny, interesting show that I love to watch.
Yeah, that is hilarious.
So I like to watch that, and then I also have my my other TV that I like try to hide from everybody, but it's like I love the Housewives, all the Housewives shows.
Girl, like, I am with you. That is like my guilty pleasure. If there's anything that I'm doing that doesn't require full attention, like if I'm cooking or I don't know, just need to zone out, I'm like, where are my Housewives at? Okay, great. Done. Move on. Yeah.
I totally agree. I'm like, oh gosh, I just need to relax and look at just like the craziness that people can get into. That's all I want to do. And I want to look at like these glamorous homes, and I just want to see like these places they go to. And I'm good with just watching. Like, I just need that. Sometimes you just need that in your life.
Yeah.
So yes, I love that. And I do catch them. Like I do make sure I watch like all of them, but I just maybe, you know, I do it when I need to. I don't just like do it all the time and just watch shows that I don't even like. So I make sure that I'm relaxing as I'm watching them, because I think that's key, is to get the result of why we're watching TV. So one thing is I cut things out like TV. I also cut other things out from my life that just were, I just had no choice that I couldn't keep doing. So like I have my job, I have 2 kids, and I have my husband. So those are kind of like non-negotiables. I really can't I can't not do any of those things. And so everything except those are all negotiable. So that's where I came up with TV. I used to go out with my girlfriends and friends a lot, and I do kind of miss those, miss going out as much as I used to, but I still do it like once in a while. Instead of doing it like 2 times a week or 3 times a week, I'll do it like once every 2 weeks, or I'll do it when there's a special occasion, like it's a birthday or something special. And that really saved me a ton of time in my life. And I think everybody has their own things that they can kind of decide, are they a must have, or are they something that maybe you could not do as much so that you can get this other part of your life going. So that's something, a couple things that I had to actually like strategize about my time and decide like, how can I add in more hours into my day? So just looking at my schedule, one of the other key things I did was looking at my sleep, because what I used to do is I used to stay up really late surfing the web and watching Housewives. Like that's what I used to do, and like messaging people. And I realized that it would be like, I really wasn't growing in my life in those few hours, like especially between 10 p.m. and like 12:30 a.m. And I would wake up and I'd be really tired no matter what time I was waking up at. And so I decided to readjust those hours of the night and put them into the morning. So instead of staying up till 12:30 or 1, I actually started going to sleep at 10, and then I added 3 hours into my morning. So I start this sounds like a little bit like in the very beginning, it might sound a little bit like crazy in the beginning, but I started, but you become used to it. Like I started waking up at 5 instead of at 7:30, which I used to. And the hours between 5 and 7:30, like those hours compared to the hours between 10 and 12:30 at night are I get like triple the work done. And it's like, I love those hours. Like I cannot wait every morning to get out of bed because it is so quiet in the world. No one needs anything from me. And I just have like so much time to be creative. It's like my mind is so awake. And so I started actually propelling my business forward so much faster when I started changing my sleep schedule and just being more productive with the way I looked at my hours of the day. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
And when you were talking about staying up later, going to bed later, and like scooting those hours to the morning too, and like you're also in New York, so you guys are in the front, and then it's a much quieter space, like even more so, like because you're in the morning and you guys start later, it's almost like a double bonus too, in that way to like have more time in the morning. I was thinking of something when you said, like it's funny how the mornings are like way more productive by having those hours there than even in the night. And then also like you get to a point where if you're ready to go to bed and you think about like grabbing your phone and looking at Instagram or social media, but you remind yourself of like, wait, is looking at that worth me giving up quality sleep? And the answer is most of the time I'd like to choose no, but it doesn't always happen. But mm-hmm. then, yeah, you get to that point where you're like, well, wait a second. If I don't go to bed now and get quality sleep, like I miss out on that morning the next day to be able to do what I want and to have that quiet time. And so that quiet time just becomes so much more of a pleasure gain that we make a smarter decision before going to bed.
Yes. Yes. So true. Yeah. And it is hard to say no and to like not even look at anything, but what ends up happening, because I've done this many times where like the minutes just keep creeping. And before I know it, it's like 11 o'clock and I'm still scrolling on my phone. And what happens is that the next morning I'm so tired and like, it just makes me the next morning, I get kind of like frustrated with myself. Why didn't I go to sleep? What did I really learn in that extra hour that I was just scrolling? And so then the next night it helps me. Like sometimes you have to go through that pain and then the next, it helps you learn for the future.
Oh, it's like going on vacation, eating a ton of cheese and bread. And you're like, oh my God, I'm so sick of myself right now. Like I can't wait to work out.
Like, yes, exactly. So true.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, so talk to us more than, so thank you for sharing all that too, just about where you're at and then some of the things and how you structure and are successful in that way too. Share with us about like your business and the actual business and the spices and a little bit more about like what were some of the things that you did to achieve, you know, the rapid weight loss of 40 pounds in a year. Like give us your little what spices are you using, girlfriend?
Oh yes. Well, they're so delicious. That's why I'm like, I feel like spices are the secret to weight loss. So what happened is when I started, when I knew that I needed to lose this weight after I had two kids, I had 20 extra pounds from pre-pregnancy and, I needed to get that off because I didn't feel like myself at all. And I started reading about how what you eat is really the key in getting healthier and losing weight and making it sustainable. And so I started changing some of the things I was eating, which were things like I started adding more protein to my food and I started eating healthier carbs. And I just started taking like lowering my sugar and it was easy with the healthier foods I was eating. But I grew up in a traditional Indian family and we used flavors and spices in everything we ate. And it was like the joy of life was in the spice in our food. And we would just sit around the table and we would just eat for like hours because we loved the food and we would eat like seconds and thirds. And sometimes we would even kid each other if we were like, who can eat the spicier food? Or, oh my God, this has nothing in it. There's no way we can eat this food. You know, we like always needed it to be flavorful. And so when I started realizing I needed to change my eating, I wanted to make sure I knew it was really important to make it fun to eat healthy. Because if it was boring, I just would not be able to follow it for the long term. So I started just doing like adding protein and things like that, but I started adding these spices. So here's a few of the key spices I would love to share with you. So one of the things I started doing was in my morning coffee, I started adding, instead of having sugar, in the beginning, I used to eat tons of sugar, and actually I used to use Splenda a lot. Oh. And so I would have like a lot of Splenda, and I used to have, used to use like this vanilla creamer. It was unsweetened, so I thought it was okay. And it was like the delight of my morning. And so like what I've learned is that even though you take out sugar from your diet, or you take out like the real sugar and you replace it with Splenda, or you replace it with unsweetened things, your brain is still addicted to the flavor of that sweet, that processed sweet flavor. And so it keeps wanting more calories. Like when you have too much sweet, it actually makes you want to eat more sugar. Like it makes you addicted to more sugar. And so you have to actually take out sweet, take out the flavor of sweet from your diet. And so in the beginning, this was hard for me to do. Like I had like two or three packets of Splenda in my coffee every morning. So I started replacing it with the natural cinnamon in my coffee. And cinnamon, it tastes a little sweet. There's a little sweet flavor. And what you do is you just sprinkle it in your coffee. In the very beginning, I still needed my sugar and I still needed my cream, but I would add the cinnamon in it. And then over time, I started decreasing my sugar, and it wasn't like I didn't even need it. So what cinnamon does is it's actually been scientifically proven to lower your blood sugar. And what that helps you do is it helps you store less fat when you don't have as much sugar in your blood. And then it also helps with all of those ups and downs like we feel when we get a sugar crash or a sugar high. So in the morning, sometimes you eat breakfast and then a couple hours later you feel a crash and you feel hungry again before lunch. And it's really hard to say, okay, I want to eat something healthy, because you feel that crash where you just want something to help you regain the energy immediately. And that's where a lot of people will end up just kind of like eating something like a muffin or a chocolate or something quick but unhealthy. And when you have cinnamon in your day, and especially in your morning, it helps you just maintain your blood sugar levels, so you're not going up and down in your energy and you're not craving more sugar. Yes. So cinnamon was one of the key spices that I started using. And then another key spice is, and this is like super popular right now, but people have been using this for centuries, and that's turmeric. And turmeric is what I call a wonder spice, and it's a yellow spice, and it actually decreases inflammation in your body. So it helps like with joint pain, but it also helps if you're going to the gym and you come back and you are like your joints are a little bit tight and you're trying to loosen up. It's perfect to add into your post-workout protein shake, like just a half teaspoon of turmeric. And it's a bright yellow color, but what's surprising, it doesn't even taste like anything. It's like, it has a very mild taste. So I just use protein powder and I add turmeric into it. And it's like, I get all the anti-inflammatory benefits. And it's like, you can actually feel it and you can see the benefits in your body after a couple days. So turmeric is amazing. I also add a half teaspoon in my eggs in the morning because it's yellow.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like yellow. You don't even know it's there, but you're getting like these amazing magical benefits in your day. And so it's anti-inflammatory. And the other thing that it does is it actually has been shown scientifically to block more fat formation. So like new fat cells, they start decreasing their formation when you use turmeric. And you also want to combine it with black pepper, because black pepper increases the absorption of turmeric in your body by like up to 2,000%.
Whoa.
So yeah, so it's really key to combine that. So in the morning I have my eggs, I put salt, pepper, and black pepper in it. And when I have my smoothie, I put turmeric in. I put a little black pepper because I don't want like too much of the spice taste in my smoothie. I kind of just want a mild smoothie, but I just put a little bit of black pepper to increase the absorption. And so the thing is, like, see, these are two spices that they're actually really easy to use, and they have like incredible benefits, and that it's for weight loss. It really helps your skin shine, and they're just natural. They're natural ingredients that our ancestors have been using for thousands and thousands of years, and they were so beneficial to them. So it's like we want to carry on those things that our ancestors were using, because they're natural, they're unprocessed, and they've been brought through time to show that they are so good for you.
Yeah, and getting back to the basics and not overcomplicating everything either, right? Like,
yes, so true.
I mean, it's thinking about I forget what I was reading, but like the blood sugar thing and listening to podcasts, and so really like changing the perspective on the food and saying, okay, well, how is this gonna level out or stabilize my blood sugar, or how is it not? But also your turmeric. I'm so excited. I'm gonna put that in my, I make a sweet potato smoothie and I'm gonna put that in my sweet potato, and I throw cinnamon in there too, and it's so good. But now I'm gonna add the turmeric. That's amazing. I love it. So why don't we, as we're kind of like landing the plane, wrapping up, I have a couple rapid fire questions for you. And the first one is what is your must read book?
Okay. My must read book is The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
Yeah.
Yes. And I love that book because it really shows you that, and it really actually took me into a new zone in my life where I thought, gosh, I don't have to feel worried. I don't have to, that I don't have to do things that I don't want to do forever. There is this zone that I'm working to, which is our zone of genius that he talks about, where you're actually doing the work that you are thriving off of, and that you just feel so at ease doing, and it doesn't have to feel painful. I mean, I think it takes years and it takes work to clear the space to get there. And once you realize what that is, you can like just work in that area. And so there's parts of my day where I feel like I'm completely in the zone where I'm supposed to be. And then other parts of the day where I'm doing things I know that I don't want to do. And that's where I like really making a concerted effort right now. And I've been making it actually over the last couple of years to outsource a lot of things that I just don't, that I need, but that I don't think is helping me elevate myself, but I do need it to be done. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that is a fantastic book too. I read that a few years ago, but definitely need to go back to it especially when like The Zone of Genius, such a great book.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the next, like, wave a magic wand? What would be the next thing that you would completely outsource in your business?
Oh, the next thing I would completely outsource is everything that has to do with webinars, because I've been like, I do webinars, to do trainings of, like how to use spices, to do trainings for, how to kind of like how to lose weight without deprivation. I do a lot of different trainings, and there's a lot of details around the webinars, like just setting up the webinar itself, marketing the webinar, and then also once people join, it's like reminding people to join the webinar and then sending them replays if you do that. So there's like all these details. So that's actually like one of the things on my list to outsource, because I've outsourced it and then I had to change my team members. And so now I have to re-outsource it. So I want to outsource it, but then I also am working on building like process flows for every single thing I outsource. So no matter who comes into my business, they can just pick up where another person may have left off, versus me feeling like, oh gosh, I have to do this myself now because I have to completely train a new person. It would be like an ongoing rolling way of people learning how to do things, because they're all easily documented.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a great idea too. Just constantly record the things that, that you're doing in your business, so that when it comes, you can just easily say, hey, watch this, and you'll know how to do it then.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so thank you so much. I have had such a blast chatting with you, and I would love for you, Nagina, to tell people where they can find you and learn more about you.
Oh, definitely. Okay. Well, I am so excited. I put together a special gift, a free gift for your listeners. And this is my sweet spice cheat sheet. And you can find this, and you can find out more about me at masalabody.com/shedidithirway.
Yeah.
Yes. And so the sweet spice cheat sheet, it has the spice that's in your kitchen cabinet, and it helps to lower blood sugar and curb sugar cravings. My cheat sheet, it includes three health benefits of using this spice: 5 ways to use it in your day and an easy, delicious recipe using this spice. And in addition to that, I'm going to send She Did It Her Way listeners plus a bonus recipe ebook with 7 spicy recipes to spice off your first 7 pounds. And that's at masalabai.com/she did it her way. Sorry.
Oh yeah, no worries. We will definitely make sure to have the link included in there so you guys can either punch that in yourselves, or if you're on the show notes, you can just click directly to that. So awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I had a blast with our conversation.
Oh, I had such a good time too. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.